We are encouraged to seek and to ask and to knock, but waiting upon the Lord is not demanding that we have this and that.
Welcome to the Strength in Truth podcast. Here is a Bible study on unanswered prayer from Bethel Strict Baptist Chapel, South Chard, England, Sunday the 24th of March 2024.
Why does God not answer me? Why does God not answer my prayer? And this might be a question that you have. And it's certainly, I think, something that anyone who prays has at some point. Why is God not answering? Or why does he seem not to be answering my prayer? And maybe there's a prayer that you've prayed many, many times, a thing you've asked for. Maybe you've asked for it day by day, year by year. You read such verses as we have in the Gospels, in Matthew 7, where the Lord Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given you." And you read that and you can't understand why your prayer is not answered. In Lamentations 3, the chapter that we just read, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, in some ways had the same thoughts. He was a faithful prophet. He faithfully told the Israelites the word of God, which he was given. He warned them of their evil ways. Yet, we read those words in verse 8 of chapter 3. "Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer." And Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. His heart was so grieved for the children of Israel, for the state that Jerusalem was in. He saw their evil ways and how the words that he spoke were so derided, and yet all the time he had a love for the people. But really, we see through this chapter how his words change. He goes from everything seeming to be wrong, and he says, "He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy." But then as we go through the chapter, the words, the tone changes, and we come into this. In verse 19, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Now, Jeremiah must have spent many hours of prayer praying for the children of Israel, and he must have been so disappointed when his words seemed to fall to the ground. But he remembers that it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. And even in the judgment that was coming upon, or was upon the Jerusalem, upon the children of Israel, he might have thought, where is the Lord's mercy in this? But then he comes to this: it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. And so the Lord was being merciful, withholding from the people, withholding from, and he's merciful to us, day by day, withholding from us the judgment that we deserve. It's so easy for us to forget who we are coming to when we pray. We can almost order God about, as it were, and think that we deserve something from him. We don't deserve even the breath in our bodies. The Lord is ever merciful to us. And Jeremiah further gives us the answer. He says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the Lord, wait for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Now, it's very unnatural for us. We want an answer immediately from God, and we expect it, and it's very unnatural for us to have this patient waiting upon the Lord. And this isn't a kind of lazy waiting. This is a resting. It's totally opposite to what we are by nature, to rest in the Lord when we look at things in our lives and it all seems wrong and we think that things need to change, or we need to do this and that to make it change. And naturally, looking at things, we can think, well, it's all wrong and time's running out and we need to change this and that. And to patiently wait on God and to trust in him, we're not like that by nature. But this waiting on the Lord in prayer is to trust that, yes, we might ask for something, but it's to trust that he knows best and his time is best. It's to have confidence in him that he does all things well. And even though it may seem that everything is wrong, this patient waiting is knowing and trusting and resting in the Lord by prayer that what he is doing is right. Providing that the thing we're asking for is good and right according to God's word. Even if we have to keep praying for years and years, and maybe we don't get an answer in our lifetime even, that shouldn't be a discouragement to stop praying. Shouldn't be a discouragement to give up. But to patiently wait on the Lord is to leave it with the Lord, to continually bring it to the Lord, but to leave it to the Lord, to leave it to him to perform it in his way, and to leave it to him, and to trust that he knows best. His ways are higher than our ways. We have in Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And that's exactly it. These things shouldn't be a discouragement to us to not pray, but God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. He is God Almighty. He knows all things. He is perfectly good and perfectly holy and perfectly just. And so his way is best. He knows the end from the beginning. We have such a limited understanding of things. So why does God not answer? Well, that question, we could turn it round the other way and say, why does God ever answer any prayer? Why should he answer prayer? Why should he answer the prayer of wretched sinners? And he's under no obligation to be merciful, but he is full of mercy. He's full of tender compassion. And in his mercy, in his grace, he answers prayer. And the particular thing that you might be praying for, it may be God's will to answer that prayer, or it may not, but whatever the Lord does, he knows best. And sometimes we can pray for a thing and we don't see the answer, but the Lord answers it in a way that we don't expect. We're expecting it to go a certain way, but he answers the prayer, but in a different way to what we expect. And really we see, as with all things, the perfect example of Jesus there in Gethsemane's garden before he was arrested. And he was exceeding sorrowful. He knew what was before him. He knew the pain and suffering that he was going to have to bear. And he prays to his heavenly Father. He says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus felt the weight of the suffering that was ahead of him, and in his humanity, he shrank back from that suffering, and he prays, if it be possible. But we see his waiting upon the Lord here, the submission to the Father's will. He says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Of course, it was divinely ordained that Jesus would go to the cross and that he would suffer there and suffer the hell that all his people deserved on the cross. And so, although he prayed that the cup might pass from him, it was not the Father's will that it would. How we need grace to have this attitude when we pray. We are encouraged to seek and to ask and to knock, but this waiting upon the Lord is not a demanding that we have this and that and then almost turning our backs on God if we don't get what we want. But it's a knowing and a trusting when we come to the Lord in prayer that we don't know what's best for us, but the Lord does. Well, we find that we don't have this in us, and so maybe that is something for us to pray for, that we might have this patient waiting upon the Lord. It says in the Psalms, wait, I say, on the Lord.
Thanks for joining us today. Look out for the next episode soon. And remember to subscribe, like, or follow the podcast to get notified each time a new episode is uploaded. And if you're enjoying the podcast, then consider sharing it with your family and friends. That's all for this episode. So until next time, goodbye.